जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं निथिलीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गो प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimadhi Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadharini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वा मनुसन्धनामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वत्सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महद् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवदीकृतेन वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वथामा विकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजमलम गीतार्थगंधोत्कटम नानाख्यानगकेसरम हरिकथा संबोधनाबोधितम लोके सज्जन शल्पदैरहरह पेबीयमानम मुदा भूयाद् भारत पंकज कल्मल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूगम करोति वाचालम पंगम लंघयति गिरिम यल्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवम् यम ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्तन्योन्दि दिव्यै स्तवैर्वेदै सांगपदै क्रम औपनिषदीर्घायन्ती यम सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ती यम योगिनो यस्य अन्धं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द भक्त्या माम् अभिजानाति यावान् यस्यास्मि तत्त्वदा ततो मां ततो ज्ञात्वा विशदे तदनन्तरम् दैट्स द वर्ड्स वी डिस्कस्ड यस्टरडे कृष्ण इज सेइंग अबाउट अ पर्सन हू ही इज इन स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ हाउ ही आफ्टर डेवलपिंग भक्ति हाउ ही जॉइन्स अंतर्यामी दैट इज दैट विशदे तदनन्तरम् मीन्स Ajari Swami concluded that Pratyagalpa Vishayam Pratyaya Sandhana Karana Abhinivesha Jnana Nishta Saja Pratyak Samudra Gamanavat Karmana Sahabhavityana Virudhyade. He says Jnana Nishta means that that strong connection with the Andaryami inside. Strong connection with the Andaryami inside. Abhinivesham, he says. Abhinivesha cha jnananishta. That strong connection is jnananishta. And he said that sa cha pratyak samudra gamanavad karmana sahabhavityena virudhyade. Very much he said that one who has to go to the eastern side of the ocean, he goes into the western side, It is similar, he said, that if you accept karma margam instead of jnananishtha, jnananishtha is best, but jnananishtha is not possible for everyone. So therefore, he said, anyway, that is what Acharya Swami said then. And then he said, then look at the next words, what he says. Sarvakarmani abhisada kurvano madvyabhashraya malprasadad avapnodi shashodam padam avyayam. Actually, when you read all these verses, it's quite possible that you could get confused, saying one thing one moment, another thing another moment, and say this is better than the other one. And it's quite a complex verses, few verses, right? But it is not Krishna's fault, it's our mind, that's the problem. So, here Krishna is saying, in this verse now, he says, whatever karma has been given to you by destiny, what has come to you, and if he lives in this world, by my blessings, he will reach the eternal realization he will have. Krishna says so. Earlier he said, criticize the karma. And now he is saying, if you do the karma properly, what has been given to you, by my mercy, Krishna says, he will come to the eternal situation. Mal prasadad avapnodi shashodam padam avyayam. That eternal place one will reach there. He is saying like that, right? So, reading that straight away, you will see why this complications, why it is so conflicting, contradicting thing like that. And first he said, sarva karmam sannyasam, give up of all the karmam. Then he said, the naishkarma rupa karma sannyasam. In other words, karma sannyasam in the form of naishkarma yoga. Now he is saying that whatever destiny has brought you, that karmam, sada kurvanaha. Sarva karmani sada kurvanam. Sarva karmani abhi sada kurvanam. Right? So, and a person who has come to that state, he does not have any rest even. He has to do karmam so much. He won't have any time to rest, he says. So, when you say like that, right? When you are thinking that you are the body, that is when the rest is required, is it not? When you do karmam and you are identifying with the body, that's when you feel the need for the rest, right? Because body requires a rest. And when you have that vishrandi means that peacefulness inside of doing the karma without attached to it, so then you are always in the resting conditions. You're always in the resting conditions, right? That means karma will continue, but you are not disturbed over that. In other words, you don't get exhausted with the karma. Karma continues. That is how all the karma goes on in this nature. In the nature, if you look at the karma, how it happens, right? So, so with this knowledge, Krishna is saying one should do the karma. In other words, he is saying here, vibhashraya, madvibhashraya means that. Madvibhashraya means observe the prakriti and how karma happens in the prakriti. In that way, one should conduct the karma. So, that means I am the karma, the karta, I am the bhokta, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This bhavam is not there in that person. And that is how all the karma in the prakriti happens. They give the examples of the sun, the moon, the wind, the fire, all things, the rain, everything, it happens. Isn't it? That's done with not karta bhokta. It just happens. Sun comes every day. Sun goes every day. So this system works in that principle. Not on the principle, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is only problem for the human species. They don't have that problem. If son starts thinking, today I will take rest, I'm going away for a weekend or I'm going on a holiday, then what will happen? No. Son is able to do it every day. And the same thing with the wind, same thing with the rain, same thing with other things as well. So Krishna says, one who is doing karmam in that way, mal prasadad, he says. Mal prasadad avapnodi shashvatam padam avyayam. Mal prasadad means, what does that mean? Atmadatva prasadam. Andaryam is prasadam because of that. One who does karmam in that way. Atmadatva prasadam because that is Krishna's prasadam. Atma, andaryam is prasadam. Due to that, avapnodi shashvatam padam avyayam is saying that. Yeah. So he reaches the eternal state. Yeah, he reaches the eternal state. That's what Krishna is saying there. So samarpanam is more important. You see, he is saying here, sarva karmani pratishiddhani abhi sada kurvana anutishtan mad vibhashraya aham vasudeva ishwaro vibhashrayo yasya saha mad vibhashraya mai arpita sarvalpa bhavam iti arthaha. Saha abhi mal prasadat mama ishwarasya prasadat avapnodi shashvatam nityam vaishnavam padam avyayam. You reach that state of vaishnava padam. Param padam mamana vaishnavandide. Vaishnava padam means self-realized state, in other words. Yeah. So that is it. So with that, that Krishna finishes that topic there. But then, in the next verse, because it is yasmad evam tasmad, he says. Yasmad evam tasmad, because it is like that, next verse. Chedasa sanya sarva karmani mai sanyasa malpara buddhi yoga upashritya ma chitta satatam bhava. Chedasa sarva karmani mai sanyasa malpara buddhi yoga upashritya ma chitta satatam para. Krishna's point is that in all these things, the important thing is the mind is in a meditation mood always. Remembrance of Krishna, which is the meditation mood. Meditation mood means that able to keep our mind always focused on the self-realization of becoming free from the body and getting our spiritual identity back. That meditation should continue throughout life. Throughout life, it should stay inside. Not like the way we practice spiritual life. 1 hour in the morning or 1 hour in the evening. Rest of the time for the world. That shouldn't happen. Instead, Krishna's point is that this should be a continuous current flowing inside all the time of the self-realization. Having convinced that we have to get our spiritual identity back of the Andaryami, there is no question of further spending time on thinking about the body and the gross or subtle bodies, because they have nothing to do with us. That has come from Maya. So, able to keep a continuous current inside all the time about self-realization and Andaryami flowing inside continuously. And that what he is saying here. Chedasa anyaga, chedasa sarva karmani mai sanyasa malpara. That buddhiyoga mubhashritya machitta satatam bhava. Right? So, Krishna says this is buddhiyoga. Buddhiyoga mubhashritya. Right? That means this meditation going on inside. No, meditation is not what we see in the commercial market. You go book with some club or somebody, and then you go into a village hall or somewhere with a yoga mat and all, and you go and sit there for meditation. No, that is not meditation. Actual meditation is that after purification in our heart, there is a continuous thoughts coming in relation with self-realization and spiritual life. That meditation builds up inside, and that doesn't break. It continues all the time within. Yeah. So, that Krishna calls it as buddhi yogam, and he say, I will give him, as Krishna said that, buddhi yogam, yeah. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenama upayandide. Earlier he says, tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam. In the earlier verses, dadami buddhi yogam tam, that buddhi yogam is talking about. Buddhi yogam means this, Krishna says, I give him the intelligence to come back to me. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam dadami buddhi yogandam yanamam upayandide. So the same thing is here. So one who worships me, one who takes shelter of me and can engages in this bhajana, priti purvagam, right? So he says that because for a devotee, with bhakti, his chittam gets purified. All the unwanted things in the chittam goes away, the vasanas, everything, right? In the Bhagavatam also you will find this. In the 11th canto, when Pipalayana Maharshi talks about that, in the 3rd chapter, 40th verse, Yarhyabjanaja Saranai Shanayoru Bhaktya Chetomalani Vitamed Gunakarma Jani Tasmin Vishuddham Upalabhyadam Atmadatvam Sakshadiyadal Amaladrisho Savidur Prakasha. That verse. Same thing. Pipalayana Maharshi is saying there, yeah? Yarhyabjanaja Saranai Shanayoru Bhaktya Chetomalani Vitamed Gunakarma Jani Tasmin Vishuddham Upalabhyadam Atmadatvam Sakshadiyadam Amaladrisho Savidur Prakasham. So, Yarhyabjanava Charanai Shanayoru Bhaktya, Eshana. We all have Eshana, Eshana Trayam. Putreshana, Vitteshana, Dareshana, Logeshana. These are all Eshanas in our life. Putreshana, attachment to children, attachment to wife, attachment to money, Vitteshana. And Logeshana, name and fame in this world, all these are Eshanas, they are called. Eshanatrayam, right? So, Eshana means our mind is sticking to something very strongly. That's what is called Eshana. Eshana means something so difficult to break away from that, that attachment, like that, deep attachment, right? So, so he is saying here, how we have Eshana in our material life, wife, children, money, wealth and world, all these things, if we have similar attachment to Krishna in the way we have attachment to all the other things, if you could get that attachment to Krishna in the same way, that means you're sticking to Krishna in the same way. Right? That is saying here, Charanai Shanayu Uru Bhaktya. Pipalayana Maharshi is saying that. Yarhyabjanava Charanai Shanayu Uru Bhaktya. Uru Bhakti, right? Uru Bhakti means powerful bhakti, right? And with that powerful bhakti alone, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying, it washes away all the vasanas in the mind. And when it gets cleaned with bhakti, all the vasanas goes away. Gunakarma jani means through sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. And because of these three gunam, whatever karma we have done in the past, karma, prakriti is making us to do things. And depending on the three modes, we will act in this world. And due to that, it has created problem for us, vasanas, in the form of vasanas. So if that is cleaned up, then what happened? Tasmin vishuddha chittam. When it gets purified, when it gets cleaned up, right? Automatically, amaladrasho savidru prakasha. Automatically, like the sun shines, when the place is clean, like the sun shines, and you will experience when chittam becomes purified, the Atma Tattvam, Andaryami's presence inside, will be known to us just like eyes which have no problems, clear eyes, you will see a sun rising in the sky. Savitra Prakasha, like sunlight, you will experience very clearly with an eye which is free from all problems, right? In the same way, you will experience Andaryami's presence inside. Savitra Prakasha, that's what that means. Savitra Prakasha, right? So, with proper intelligence, if all karma is executed that way, means samarpana buddhi, bhagavadarpanam, right? To accept that Krishna is doing everything, I am not doing anything. Krishna is doing everything, right? I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. In this way, every moment becoming conscious of that, that Krishna is doing everything through this body, through our gross and subtle bodies, right? And this is in order to remind this only. In the Bhagavatam also, you will, every time people will say this, kayena vaja manasendriyarva, to remind this in us, that Krishna is doing everything, not we. Udhyatmanava prakrite subhaval karodi adyat sakalam varasmai narayanaya samarpayami. It is coming from this, yeah, to create this buddhi inside. So, means that whatever I do with my body, senses, mind, intelligence, all these things, according to my prakriti, karma is happening through this body, and that is why prakriti subhavat means whatever modes of nature is present in me. It could be sattugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. Whatever that may be happening inside, it is being done by Krishna based on that modes of nature through this body. Able to accept it that way. Rather than thinking that I am the doer and therefore I am the enjoyer. To get rid of that thoughts from inside. Yeah. So, in everyone's body, mind, intelligence, everything works, right? But you have to take it like this, that just like you put the cassette in the cassette recorder, in the same way, we are all like that. Krishna is inside and Krishna is dictating what has to happen, and accordingly we are working all the time. Whatever Antaryami is telling us, we are doing that. Only thing, we are not conscious that the Antaryami is telling us to do that. How did we make decisions? Antaryami inside has made you to think that way, and you are according to the modes of nature inside, right? So this, each one of us, there is a recorded thing inside, like a CD, it is working. We are like a CD. What is working in that way, right? And that is what is called a prakriti. That's what's called a prakriti, right? Which means vasana. Vasana inside, right? So, you can see that one person's prakriti is different from another person's prakriti. Is it not? Everyone's prakriti is not the same. They're all different. Why is it so different? Because vasanas are different in the person, right? So, according to his prakriti, his hands, his legs, his eyes, his nose, his mind, his intelligence, his ego, everything will work on that basis, according to his prakriti, right? So nobody is independent in this world. I know it is difficult initially to understand this, but after some time you will start realizing that you are also helpless in this world. All of us, when we came to this world, we didn't plan a life like this, but it happened that way. It's not, you come to realize this at some stage, some point everybody realizes to some extent. But then only you start thinking about it. Why did it happen the way it has happened? At that time you can see that there is some higher force pushing you based on some vasanas inside us. Our vasanas were responsible, and somebody was pushing us to act in a particular way from inside. Not that everything I have done in this my life, after properly scrutinizing it and analyzing it and taken a proper decision, and I did it. It didn't happen that way. In so many instances, if you look at your own life, you can see it just happened the way it is. And then you start seeing that and another person acted in a different way. Why did that happen? Because of the difference in the vasana, in a person, right? And so, so in principle, nobody is free here. Nobody is free here, right? And Krishna is going to talk about that later, right? Actually, we are just toys in the hands of prakriti. Prakriti kriyamanani, gunai karmani sarvasha, ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyade. That verse is very explicit about this, right? And we will think that it is because of me, I made the decision, and I had the proper knowledge, and therefore I took that decision, and things like that. We will say all that thing, but that is not the factor. The fact is that we are just toys in the hands of Prakriti. Prakriti will control us at all stages based on our vasanas and the modes of nature and the prarabdham. All this is taken into account, right? Everything is Prakriti, as Bhagavad Gita says, right? And we have only one option, to move along with that. That's our freedom. To move along with the Prakriti's dictation to us from inside. Yeah. So that is why Krishna is saying there, Chedasa Sarvagarmani, he says. Chedasa Sarvagarmani means all the karma what we are doing, at least in the mind, you offer it to Krishna. All the karma, right? And so strictly speaking, proper sannyasa means actually bhakti yogam. Bhakti has to be there, right? And when everything becomes like that, then it is called sannyasi. That everything Krishna is doing, with that realization living in this world. Sannyasi is not supposed to make plans and do things. It has to happen in a natural way, right? So, that is why Bhagavatam says that. Yeah, Bhagavatam is saying that even if you are a sannyasi, if you don't have that Bhagavad Bhavam, that Krishna is doing everything, then it won't be correct, it won't be proper, right? For example, sannyasi who is very dry, without any bhakti, right? And you won't find it very interesting to deal with that sannyasi. So, sannyasi also requires this bhakti, and similarly, all the other his activities, even if he is doing something, that karmam also, if it is related to Krishna, related to Krishna consciousness, then it is nice to watch that sannyasi. And that means he has got that ardra bhav. Ardra bhav means his mind has become very, very much accepted the truth and become more liquid-like, not solid anymore. Ardra bhav, right? So, in other words, there is bhakti in his heart all the time, respect to all living entities and feeling compassion for others. This is all natural things in a person who has got chitta adra tumade vijinde bhakti siddhyanti janmandare, says that many, many lifetimes one has to go through before one comes to that stage. Chitta ardratvamrade vijindya bahubi siddhyanti janmandare. After many, many lifetimes, one gets that ardrada. Ardrada means seeing compassion for other living entities when they see suffering in them. Because there are some people in this world who doesn't feel any suffering. Other suffering is your problem. It's not my problem. Thinking like that, that's not the right thing. That's because this ardrada is not there. Compassion is not there for others. Yeah. So, so if that ardra bhavam is not there, if it is very dry, then nobody would like to deal with such people, such persons, right? So that is what Krishna's Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas. Nashkarma mavi achuta bhava varjidam nashobhate, he says. You remember? First canto and the 12th canto. Both times he has spoken the same verse. Nashkarmam abhi achyuda bhava varjidam nashobade jnanam alam niranjanam kudappana shashravandram ishwari nahyarpidam karma yadapyanuttamam. He mentions that, right? So, that person, even if he is learned, scholarly, and even if he is doing some service in the world for the sake of the world, if this Bhagavad Bhavam is missing in him, then it won't be interesting to deal with that person. He's not attraction to the world. Because even if your karmam, you see, karmam is a very difficult thing to understand. We have misunderstood karma many ways, right? For example, in karmam also, if Krishna is not involved in the karmam, then karma yogam is not possible. Karma yogam is not possible, right? And കർമ്മയോഗം, ഇഫ് യു ജസ്റ്റ് ഡു
കർമ്മയോഗം
വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് അലോൺ യു ഡോണ്ട് റിയലൈസ് യുവർ സെൽഫ് ജസ്റ്റ് ബൈ ഡൂയിങ് കർമ്മയോഗം. കർമ്മയോഗം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് തിങ്കിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഐ എം നോട്ട് ദി ഡുവർ, ഐ എം നോട്ട് ദി എൻജോയർ, ദാറ്റ് അലോൺ ഈസ് നോട്ട് സഫിഷ്യന്റ്. ബട്ട് ഇൻ കർമ്മയോഗം ഇഫ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ബിക്കമിംഗ് സക്സസ്ഫുൾ ബിക്കോസ് യു ആർ ഡൂയിങ് ഇറ്റ് വിത്തൌട്ട് എക്സ്പെക്ടേഷൻ ഓഫ് റിസൾട്ട്സ്, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ദി കർമ്മയോഗം ബിക്കം സക്സസ്ഫുൾ, റൈറ്റ്? ഓൺ ദി അതർ ഹാൻഡ്, വെൻ യു ഓഫർ ദ റിസൾട്ട്സ് ഓഫ് ദ കർമ്മം ടു കൃഷ്ണ, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വെൻ യുവർ കർമ്മയോഗം ബിക്കം സക്സസ്ഫുൾ, റൈറ്റ്? ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ വേ ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മയോഗം ഈസ് നോട്ട് സക്സസ്ഫുൾ ബിക്കോസ് ഈവൻ ഇഫ് യു ഡു ഇറ്റ് that thinking that I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, that alone won't make karmam successful. Karmam becomes successful only when you see that the our karmam is offered to Krishna, bhagavad arpanam. That means when bhakti comes into karma yogam, it becomes bhagavata dharmam, and then it becomes a success, there. That is why to understand karmam is important. Maharshi used to say, Ishwar Arpitam Svechaya Kritam. He says that in his Upadesha Saram. He mentions that. That means, if without Ishwara Tattvam, Ishwar Arpitam means Samarpanam to Krishna, and without expectation of results, if karmam is doing, that alone won't make you perfect if you don't offer the karmam results to Krishna. In other words, karma yogam success depends on the bhakti that comes into karma yogam. That's the way it works, right? Otherwise, if you can see all the machines what we have, grinder, mixer, washing machine, they are all doing karma yogam, aren't they? They are not expecting any, they don't ask any wages, they just do karma all the time, they are doing karma, right? And they are not taking any results from us. Washing machine doesn't get any result. Dishwasher doesn't get any result. They are just doing karmam all the time without attached to it. Right? So, if you take it like this, that just by not taking the results alone, if your karmam has become successful, they are all karma yogis then. Wash machine, dishwasher, grinder, mixer, they are all karma yogis then. No, it is not. That is a point to understand, right? So, because they never asked anything, they are doing karma, they are not asking anything, no wages, nothing, right? So, similarly, this thing is important, this is, you know why? Because the way things are going now, one day there will be shortage of pujaris. We will start getting robots. And Robert will do the deity worship. It will go like that, because this, all this artificial intelligence. And when you have robots and all that, they won't ask for wage increase, they won't ask for anything, only you have to maintain these robots. They will do everything. And they will do it perfectly, on time, every time. And they will chant the mantra properly, if you have programmed it. And also, they won't ask for any dakshina. You see, and you don't have to pay them any salary. So many temples will think, why don't we do this? Because these people don't have any brain also to think. Bhavam is not there in any of these, you see. Everything is streamed through money and profit. So when you start looking at it, the mind will one day tell them, look, these robots are coming into the market, why don't we put them in? What do we need all this? We can have a good time, they will do the job for us, and things like that, right? So, and similarly, they will chant the mantra properly, and they are not asking for any salary, and they will do everything on time, right? But is it useful? Why is it not right? Why? Because it's jadam. That's the principle. It is jadam. Yeah. So similarly, this new one, artificial intelligence. When it comes, it will give you all the clarifications, all questions will be answered. So you don't have to study Shastram anymore. Artificial intelligence, you just tap the button and get the result, ChatGPT-like thing, right? So then you will say, you don't have to go and study deity worship, how to do the deity worship, and all the other practices, what's associated with spiritual life, right? And and probably in due course of time, we may all have one at home to do different things, right? So, and why is it different? It doesn't have abhimanam. I am the doer. The robots don't have, right? But bhavam is not there. Bhavam is not there, right? That means chaitanyam is not there. It is the chaitanyam that makes the difference. You can do karmam, you can do in various different ways. You can do it with your body and mind. You can do it through a robot. Or you can do through other means as well. Whichever way is possible. Yeah, you can find different ways of getting the work done. But that is not doing the right thing. Because bhavam is not there. And bhavam is only possible for chaitanyam. Only if you have chaitanyam there, chaitanyam means our bodham, awareness is there. Only when bodham is there, bhavam will be there. Bhavam will be there. So you can see that it will fail at the end. It is not, karma yogam, bhakti is not there. Bhavam means bhakti. Bhakti should be there, right? So, because chaitanyam is not there, bhavam is not there, and therefore, whatever that is doing doesn't become karma yoga. It does not become karma yoga. Avidya. And that is why it is mentioned that it is jadam. Karmam is jadam. Karmam is jadam. Karmam has no life. Karmam becomes karma yoga with bhakti. It becomes a cause for purification. Not otherwise, right? So, so it is not the karmam that gets the value is not for the karmam. It is for the person who is doing the karmam is to be taken into account. One who is doing the karmam, he is more important than the karmam what he is doing. This is the principle. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, karmam will get done in various ways, but that is jadam. It is jadam. It is the person who is doing the karmam is more important. Because it is him who has to make the progress in spiritual life. Machine doesn't have to make the progress in spiritual life, nor the body. It is the andaryami and our jivabhavam what has to make that progress. Right? So, ajnaya prapedevalam. And who is that karta, who is the doer, is Ishvara from behind. Right? And who is that Ishvara is jiva. So it is the jiva who is more important in the karma, when he is doing the karma, right? So the person who is sitting behind all these things, and one who is doing the karma, his astitvam, or his existence, or that chaitanyam, or his awareness, bodham, is important. That person is more important than the karma what he is doing. Karma may be anything, but it is that person that matters more, right? If that bodham is not there, that the person is important, if not, then karmam is jadam. Karmam is jadam, right? There is no point in saying good karmam, bad karmam and all that, right? So, apparently they are saying now different things about this artificial intelligence. You can see that in the hospitals they say that surgery will be done by the... They have got now technology going up like that. Surgeons won't have to do it. They can program the machines and they will perform the operations as well for in the hospital. That's the way research is going on in all these things, right? And what they are saying is that if you do like that, the human failure won't be there because robots can do these artificial things, can do better, right? Just for example, a surgeon, he is going to hospital and suppose he had some problem with wife at home. And he's in a bad mood. He went and did the surgery there. And sometimes it could go wrong because of his lack of being focused on doing what he's doing, right? And he gets fed up and he leaves everything and he walks away from there. So it's a problem. Whereas with robots, you don't have all such problems, right? So that means human flaw won't happen in that case when they do that, right? But only thing is there won't be any human touch. When the patient after the operation, when he opens his eyes, normally a doctor talks to them nicely and gives him the strength and confidence, or everything is fine. That human touch there, that won't be there with these robots and all other things, right? Because why so? There is no Chaitanyam there. You see the importance of Chaitanyam? Chaitanyam makes that happen. What Chaitanyam has got, robots cannot have. This bhavam inside, robots cannot have that. What Chaitanyam has got, robots cannot have that. You cannot create that because it is coming from both awareness, right? So, after the operation, the robot comes to you and looks at you. Suppose, imagine a situation like that. The robot has done the operation and anesthetic, everything through anesthetic, all done. You come out of your unconscious state back to normal and the robot is looking at you. So how would you feel? Whereas if it is a surgeon with a human heart and he speaks to you, you will feel a lot different because Chaitanyam is there. Chaitanyam is talking. That awareness bodham, which makes a big difference, isn't it? So, therefore, every karmam is offering to Krishna, that to please Krishna when karmam is performed, it purifies the person's his bhavam inside. That is the benefit. So the benefit is for the person who is doing the karmam, and for him the benefit is that Ishwar Arpanam. If the karmam is executed to please Krishna, then that is doing like that is sannyasam. Is sannyasam, right? In other words, whatever karmam, that means importance is for the person, not for the karmam. You see? Importance is for the person, not for the karmam, right? So, whatever karmam is done, all of that is offered to the Antaryami inside. Antaryami should be pleased with that karmam, right? Krishna is present inside as Antaryami. In fourth canto, he is called as Avijñāda Sakhava. That's the word used in the Bhagavatam. Avijñāda Sakhava. Antaryami is present with us all the time, with us in all situations. And that is Krishna. Offering to him is the perfection of karma. Perfection of karma. So, here he says that the Chetasa Viveka Buddhya Sarva Karmani Drishta Drishtani Mai Ishure Sanyasya. Earlier in the 9th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said this: Yat Karoshi, Yad Asnati, Yad Jukoshi, Dasiyal, Yat Tapasyasi Kaundeya, Tal Kurushama Darpanam. Why did Krishna say that? Because that benefits the jiva. Iti Uktanyayana Malpara Aham Vasudeva Paro Yasya Evatum Malpara San Buddhiyogam Mai samahita buddhitvam, buddhiyogaha, tam buddhiyogam upashrityam, ashrayaha, ananya sharanatvam, machitto mai eva, chittam yasya, tava, sattvam, machitta, sadadam, sarvada, bhava. So, all the karma, what happens, what we see, whether it gives results or don't give results, all of that karma, if has to be offered to with samarpana buddhi. Krishna is insisting that, saying that, knowing very well that except Krishna there is no other shelter. In this way, completely, again the Bhagavata Dharma is spoken in another way. Samarpana Buddhi, Sharanagati. Both go side by side. With Sharanagati and Samarpana Buddhi, if karma is done, that karma will make him to get closer to the truth. Right? So, that is what it is saying there. So this verse is very important. Which one? Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yashasmi tattvada tadomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Krishna said that, right? And Krishna mentions there that that jnanam is parabhakti, he said. So, brahma bhuda prasannatma nashavachati nakamshati samasarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim lebhade param. So, and Sarvabhuta Samatvam, equal vision to everything. And in that state, Krishna said, Mad Bhakti, Labhade Param, right? Parabhakti is only possible in that state. So first thing is this Brahmabodham stage, right? That means your drishti, your vision has changed, yeah? What you see with your eyes is only the surface of anything. When you see with the eyes, it's only the surface you are seeing, right? Everything else, actually seeing means seeing through knowledge. Seeing through knowledge. Normally what we see things is through eyes. So, so, suppose I'm seeing you, I'm only seeing your form, isn't it? Only the form I'm seeing from here, right? And I can only do that much. It can only bring you the form in you, right? And but actually, all other rest of the work is done by the mind. Mind is doing everything, right? Mind is the one which makes that decision. Say, for example, this is man, this is woman, right? This person I know, this person I don't know. I have seen this person before, I have not seen him before. This I like, this I don't like. And all these things, I is not doing that. It's all done by the mind. I only brings the form inside. And the mind is making all the decisions about that person, or whatever object you are seeing, right? So, same thing with all other senses also. You hear some sound, the sound comes in, ear hears that, but who analyzes the sound? The mind analyzes. Same thing, you smell something, mind analyzes. So you can see all the senses is controlled from the mind. Senses are inside the mind actually. These are just holes only in the body. All the senses are just holes in the body. Everything is managed from that center, mind, right? So, everything is happening so fast inside us, right? For example, you can see that something that has come through the nose, right? Buddhi has gone in with the senses, collected all the information and brought it back inside, right? And just like Buddhi brings it in and delivers into the subtle body, right? And then the whole data has been fed into the mind, right? Because it's all happening so fast, we are not aware of all these things, how its system works, right? So, this you can, you know, these astrologers, what they have done now, they use computer a lot now, not like before. Astrologers are using computers a lot now. Because they have realized that they can use computers for that purpose quite a bit. And some of them are very good at it. And they feed all your data into that. And it comes out with lots of results. Right? And even that will tell you, because astrology is like that. It will tell you the nature of that person. His swabhavam, prakriti. Everything will be spoken by the chart when it comes out. Right? So then all what the astrologers does now, they read it and then they make some correction somewhere there if they find something different, right? So, so what I'm saying is that what you are seeing with the eyes is only the form, right? Everything else is done through knowledge, isn't it? In the mind when it comes in, it's all processed there with the knowledge what you have. Eye only brings them up. So senses role is like that. It makes contact with the sense objects. Buddhi brings that in. Processing is all done inside, in the mind, right? So strictly speaking, when you see anything, actually you are seeing it with your knowledge, not with the eye. Because it's the knowledge that is making all the decisions about the object. So if your knowledge is proper, If you remove all the faults in your knowledge, then your understanding will also be better, in the sense that when we have Dvaita Buddhi inside us, your opinion about things will change. When you have a lot of Dvaitam inside. So, he is saying here that Machitta Satatam Bhava Buddhi Yoga Mupashritya Machitta Satatam Bhava. Right? If our opinion about others will also change. Normally, when we hear something about somebody, we make an opinion about ourselves, isn't it? And that opinion, how important that is. Because that opinion is formed by your knowledge of the things, is it not? So, for example, give an example, right? A small child is sleeping, right? And he was sleeping, he woke him up. And he took him to watch the TV in the night. Told him that, come and see, watch the TV now. Says, yeah. And he is seeing, in you know, some ghostly things and all, which they show in the television at night, in the, you know, kind of programs, which are very horrifying things, scenes like that. The child has seen that, right? And he saw all that, and he's not getting sleep. Child has seen this, he is not getting sleep at night, right? So what have we done now? The child was sleeping peacefully. You woke him up and thought that he will enjoy this program, serial or whatever it is, movie on the film, in the television. Brought him in, showed him all that, and told him, now you can go back to sleep. He's not getting sleep. He's not getting sleep, right? So, that itself shows that child has some knowledge, this ghost and other things, whatever he has shown, madness, whatever that was in the television, had affected him. Isn't it? Had affected him. Right? So, from this you have to understand that if you don't want to hurt yourself in different ways, even for adults, right? Everything what you see outside or senses are making contact with should be such that it should be auspicious for us, not inauspicious. That is why it is important. Everything what our senses are making contact with, if they are not auspicious, this will happen. Inauspicious things goes inside, it will disturb you inside, right? So therefore, in Mundaka Upanishad, there is a verse there which says this very perfectly, puts it together. What it says is that it's a famous prayer from the Upanishads, and in all occasions, auspicious occasions, the students from the Gurukulam and Pathashala, they will recite these words. Badram Om, Badram Karnemi Shrunuyama Devaha, Badram Pashemi Kshabiti Jaitraha. Sire. So, the idea is that everything, Badram Karnemi Shrunuyama Devaha, everything that comes through my ears, let it bring auspiciousness to me. Let not inauspicious things don't come inside. Bedram karnebi shruniyama devaha. Whatever, this is the children's, they recite this. This is from the Mundaka Upanishad. Bedram karnebi shruniyama devaha. Everything that comes to me, what I hear, let that be the auspicious sound, only comes through my ears. Not inauspicious ones, right? Bedram pashemi jaitraha. That Badram Pashyame Akshavi Chaitraha. Through the eyes, whatever comes, first through the ear and then the eyes. Whatever comes through the eyes, let that purify me. Let that be auspicious ones I see in my life. I don't see anything inauspicious, right? So this is a prayer, big prayer in the Mundaka Upanishad, right? That everything what I hear, let that be auspicious. Everything what I see, let that be auspicious. Because these two senses has a strong effect on our mind, our consciousness, right? This is not in our hands, obviously. It's not in our hands, right? For example, if you open the mobile, what will come out, you don't know from that. Auspicious or inauspicious, right? Similarly, what you hear in this world, whether it will be auspicious or not, you don't know that, right? Similarly, if you are working, you go to the office, what you will hear there may be or may not be auspicious, right? So, in life also, everything that comes to you may be auspicious, may be not auspicious, inauspicious, right? And that you can't say that about it. Therefore, these prayers, right? Bhadram karneva shunayama devaha, bhadram pashyami achebi jaitraha. But once it has come inside, what do? It will affect you, definitely, right? And then you will get this problem, depression, stress, and things like that. It's all because of this only. Inauspicious things getting inside, right? So how to handle that? If that those things don't not to affect us, right? They will say, people, if you say this to people, they'll say, oh, you can say all these things. I have to go to work and all kinds of situations at workplace. And also, even in the Vyavaharam, you will deal with people. You will have all kinds of inauspicious situations happening, right? So, and even going to office, and even for children also, you're sending them to school, right? And you don't know what association he gets there with others. Not it's all of them is Bhadram Karnemi Shunyama Devaha. You're not sending them to Gurugulam or to a Parashala where there is a proper spiritual culture there existing. You're sending them to a slaughterhouse. And what will happen there will be that lot of inauspicious things will happen there. There's nothing you can do and that will get in. Once it has gone inside, then it comes out in from some form. In some other time, it will come out, right? So that is why it says there that little bit of maturity is necessary in all these things. Yeah, that This realization that little bit of maturity is necessary for this self-realization process. Yeah. So it is for them that those who are ready for self-realization, all this problem. For others, it doesn't matter. If you are not interested in spiritual life, what does it matter? You can hear anything you like. You can watch anything you want. But it is for those who are concerned about spiritual life and self-realization, for them it matters. These things matters, right? And only if you have taken all these things into account, the spiritual knowledge will start working inside. Otherwise, spiritual knowledge won't happen. If you hear anything and everything, if you watch anything and everything, and then if you have a state of mind like that, or if you eat anything and everything, or if you smell anything and everything, if you touch anything and everything, all these five senses basically, if they're all engaged in mundane things all the time, then spiritual life will not work for him, that person. It won't work. Yeah. Yeah. because it is like this, right? Because it is like that, spirituality is not for everybody. That also we must know. Spirituality is only for the few who are serious about it, right? And the others, for them, they can do something like a drill, and that is called religion. You see, religion is different. Religion means that, as people say, I'm religious, but I live my comfortable life in this world. I'll enjoy life. I'm also religious, but people say like that, don't they? They say, he's a very religious person. They say, yes, they're religious, but they're not spiritual. Spiritual understanding is not there. So spiritual life is only for few people, not for everybody. Religious life for everyone. Everybody can say, I belong to this religion or that religion, and I'm fasting these days, and therefore I belong to this religion. And that is religious mindset. So it's just like a drill. You're standing up, sitting down in that way. So people who are fully ready for spiritual life, and those who have got that dhairyam, courage inside, there's only few in this world, right? And others, they will go around in circles in their own way, right? And you'll say that, offer obeisances, do worship, and all these things. And that is why it's called a drill type religion. You're just doing it because that's what my parents have done. I'm also doing the same thing. And therefore, in that way, not focused on self-realization, focused on spiritual knowledge, focused on Bhagavad Gita. Things like this doesn't affect them. They're just happy with what they're doing in that sense, right? So, proper people who are very qualified for spiritual life are very few in this world. People who are properly qualified for spiritual life, right? Then what do we do then, if it is like this, right? And in the middle of so many people, those who are serious about spiritual life are very few. Very few, yeah? You can observe this if you see people's nature, right? So, this is the reason why Krishna said this. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadade siddhaye yadadam abhi siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatuda, in the 7th chapter. Yeah. Why did Krishna say like that? The reason is this. Then people who are saying they are religious and they are interested in their religious life, they are another group. That is not the group in the Bhagavad Gita spoken about. Bhagavad Gita is talking about people who are looking for escaping from here. Those who have come to the deep realization inside, suffered heavily in this world and understood what is on offer here in this world. And he has analyzed it, he or she has analyzed it very well and understood that this is not the place for me. I just want to be away from here. This place is not going to change. This is what is on offer here. So to come to that conclusion takes some time. And people who have come to that conclusion, and then these strong desires come inside to become free from here. Only such a person is Krishna is talking about in that verse. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye yadadam abhi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada. It is among them hardly one knows me, properly understands me, Krishna says there, isn't it? Kashinvam veti tattvada, proper tattvam of Krishna, hardly one understands. He says it's so difficult. What's what Krishna is saying there, right? So, out of millions of people, only few are endeavoring for that, right? And among those few who are endeavoring for that self-realization, very few make it. Very few make it, right? And those few who are like that, when they use that realization, what they have got, when they have become successful, right? When they use that, those people who are doing that, they should not have envy, ragadvesham and things like that. They should be free from all that, right? Similarly, hate, attachment, and all these things should not come to them. Because they have come to this stage now, they have studied Shastram, practiced it, and they have reached a stage now. And if they want to use that knowledge for the benefit of the world, what they have realized, right? When they use that knowledge for the sake of the world, they shouldn't develop envy inside. These base problems should have left them, base qualities like envy, hate, ragam, dvesham, attachment, all these things. What do you do then? Because normally in us, right, people whom you like, when you see them, you will get, you will get attached to them, right? And you will naturally, it is people whom you like, you will get attached to them, right? They will say like this, that sometimes people say, I fell in love with somebody. People say like that, isn't it? I fell in love with that. So, so why do you fall in love and break your hands and legs at the end? Right? So, don't fall into love. That's what the advice is. If you fall, you will break your hands and legs. Right? And fracture the body. So, that's how it is said. So, so these are all different forces within us, what comes out like that. And every body, each one of us, right, there is a force operating within us, right? And that force acts in different people in different ways. So, that force is our attachment inside to different things, right? So, in within us also, there is certain preconditions for us when we deal with the world, right? Right? That is why when you see certain things, certain feeling comes within us towards those things, towards certain people. Why do we get a certain feeling within us? It is because if within us there is certain attachment to certain things, right? So, when we talk about Guru, Guru is, Krishna is saying that, Alpano Guru Ralpaiva. Your Andaryami is actually Guru. Andaryami is Guru, right? And Andaryami keeps everything within us, inside us. When it is required, Andaryami will bring it out from inside. This is how spiritual life also happens, right? So what do? We have to do things in such a way that our inside, we have to make it in such a way that that does not disturb our system inside. In other words, when you are walking, for example, right? If you don't want the thorns to, if you say you are walking the ground outside, not without shoes, you are just walking with your bare feet, right? You have two options. Either you put everywhere a mat so that you don't get, thorns don't bite you or cause problem for you, or you put your shoes on, right? So, if you put the shoes on, then you don't have to put a carpet everywhere. And in this way, you have to have a protection all the time inside. And that is why in Shastram they call it as a kavacham. And that is where Narayana Kavacham has come from. If you study Narayana Kavacham properly, you will find something interesting there. Look at Narayana Kavacham. There is so many things spoken in the Narayana Kavacham. Yeah? So many things spoken in the Narayana Kavacham. Which chapter is that? Number?
Sixth chapter.
Yeah. Eighth chapter. Sixth canto, eighth chapter. Yeah. So if you look at the Narayana Kavacham, Kavacham means a shield, isn't it? Armor, protective shield, it is. Lot of things are spoken, yeah. But actual Narayana Kavacham, there is only one verse in that. If you look at that verses, it says, the 31st verse, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasa Chayal Satyanan Enana Sarve Yanto Nasha Vadravaha. That is actual Narayana Kavacham. It is that verse. Yeah. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasa Chayal Satyanan Enana Sarve Yanto Nasha Ubadravaha. That verse, yeah. That is Narayana Kavacham actually. Now, why it is important is, in the same way, there are other Kavachams as well. In Yoga Vasishtam, there is a Kavacham called Brahma Kavacham. You cover yourself with that, right? So, it is very much similar to Narayana Kavacham, spoken in a little different way. Everything is Chidagashamayam, it says there. And one who is able to think like that, it is in Chidagasham, everything is happening, then he is wearing this Brahma Kavacham. So, Bhagavadam said this, Narayana Kavacham, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasa Chayal. Yeah? So, what does that mean? It means, he is saying there, whether it is Satya or Asatya, whatever it may be, yeah? Satya or Asatya, seeing things like good and bad, or things that gives you happiness or distress, able to see everything as Krishna, is Krishna, right? If you accept that, then you have escaped from the world. That is that shield. What that shield? That's a prayer, basically. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva. Except Krishna, nothing exists here. Everything is Krishna, then what is good and bad in that? If everything is Krishna, where is the question of good and bad then? Is it not? So if you have accepted that principle, in other words, if you have developed a vision like that within you, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sad Asad Chayal Satyanan Ena Na Sarve Yandu Nasha Vadravaha. So, if you accept that tattvam, Advaita tattvam, right, it starts in your bhavana, in your imagination. Bhavana means in your mind. You develop that understanding, right? And satyanāneena na sarve yāndu nāsho badravaha. It's all satyam. Satyam is the word used in Bhagavadam, everywhere. Satyam param dhimahi, it says, is it not? So satyam, that is the satyam. Vastu Satyam, it is called, right? So, if you accept it as Satyam, and if you stay in that state of consciousness, then you won't have a problem, right? So, so Satyam, that what is Satyam means? Krishna. Krishna is Satyam, consciousness, Bodham. If that way, if you are able to see the world, it won't create that disturbance inside. So, I was saying before, that there are so many things which will affect us from the world. So protection against this, Narayana Kavacham. And Narayana Kavacham, all the other things what is spoken is related to the tantram side of it. You see, that what he said, so many other things is mentioned there. That he says that this incarnation protect me from this part of the body, that incarnation protect me that part of the body. That is all the tantram side of it, the tantric side of it, right? The actual message in the Narayana Kavacham is this verse. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasa Chayal Satyananena Natsarve Yantu Nasha Ubhadravaha. Yeah, that is a shield you are protecting you, right? So, and there are things related to that, like certain things, and even in science also, modern science also, there are certain things that you have to accept it in that way. For example, I jumped from the top of the building, right? And I can't say to the, why did I get hurt? Because the forces, what do they call it, Newton's laws of gravitation, is working and forces of gravity has pulled me down and that is why I got hurt, right? But I have prayed a lot that Newton's laws of gravitation should not work on me if I have prayed, but it still happened like this, right? It won't happen that way. It won't help, isn't it? Because Newton's laws of gravitation, it is not Newton's law, it is Krishna's law. Krishna created that situation, right? This gravity forces, did Newton create? Newton, before that it was known also, it's not a new thing. They made it like this, like everything else, right? So thinking that the forces of gravitation won't work on me, I chanted the holy name and I chanted my Gayatri, everything, so that the forces should not work on me, it won't happen. It will work, right? So, as far as forces of gravitation is concerned, it's not going to discriminate. No matter who it is, jumps, he will fall and he will hurt, right? So, people who have knowledge should know how to use the knowledge also. And that is why they have given us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything. Otherwise, you don't have to bring all the Shastram into it. You can say everything is Krishna. You just pray to him, pray to him, pray to him all the time, like they do. And that becomes, but you got to know also this Shastram properly, right? So, you will see this in the Mahabharata war also. When, before they went into war, they gave a lot of charity, both sides. They give a lot of charity, right? And they will do worship of their deities, whatever they were worshipping at that time. So, before they go to war, they do all that. They do all these things, right? Krishna could have done the same thing when Arjuna was depressed. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He says to Krishna, Krishna says to Arjuna, that first of all, you should understand things properly. In how the nature works, yeah? Without understanding how the nature works, if you just think that everything is praying and everything is puja and everything will come with that, if you start taking things like that, people do all sorts of strange things because of this misunderstanding, not knowing things properly. Krishna could have solved the problem in a different way, but he didn't do that. He told Arjuna, you should understand the Prakriti first, yeah? And and if you want to escape from this, the only way it can be done is to know this whole creation is Atma Swarupam. That Andaryami, my Swarupam is Atma, the world is also Atma. If you realize it that way and realize that, then you can escape. But you won't be able to correct the rules of the Prakriti. You understand? Prakriti will act its own way. You have no control over Prakriti. Prakriti law, Prakriti's nature will continue as it is, right? So that is why Krishna is saying to us that you have to study Bhagavad Gita, follow the process, everything, but you also accept the Prakriti along with that. Prakriti cannot be changed. Prakriti is so powerful. This is why Ramachandra cried when Sita Devi was lost. He was crying. He was crying. Ramachandra is crying. And why Ramachandra cried? There are different opinions about it, but whichever way you look at it, the fact is Ramachandra cried. When Sita Devi was lost, Ramachandra cried. Why? Why did he cry? See, Shukam Brahma, she says in the Bhagavatam, a very very heavy opinion on Ramachandra. He says, it is not his fault, he says. Anyone attached to women have to have this problem. Srinam, Sri Sanginam Sangam, Pratayam Chachara, he says. He will have to face this. That is Sri Shukha Brahmarshi's opinion. We can't say like that about Ramachandra because he is Krishna himself, has come. And Srinam Sri Sanginam Gadimiti Pratayam Chachara. That's the verse in the ninth canto. Yeah. So Ramachandra is seen like that by Sri Shukha Brahmarshi, gave an opinion like that. Another person who wrote Ramayanam, Adhyatma Ramayanam is there, Valmiki Ramayanam is there. So when Ramachandra crying and seeing that, another person, Ramayanam, who wrote, he said that I can't say this. Look at the way Ramachandra is crying. the way he is crying. It broke his heart, seeing his condition, Ramchandra's condition, broke his heart, right? So he is saying that Valmiki can say anything he wants because he was not come from a mother's womb. He has come from the Valmigam, from the, what do they call that, the anthill, right? So he doesn't have a heart, he says. Valmiki doesn't have a heart. And Valmiki goes on talking about it for a long time, about Ramchandra's condition, right? But this person says, I have come from a mother's womb. My heart falls for it, for seeing Ramchandra's condition. And therefore, I cannot say the same thing what he has said about Ramchandra, right? So, in this way, all people, because Ramayanam is available in different languages. In all languages, Tulsidas wrote Ramayanam, Kambar wrote Ramayanam, Vedavyas wrote Ramayanam, so many others wrote Ramayanam in different languages. Famous Ramayanams are present. So all of them have evaluated Ramchandra's situation then, and they all felt sorry for Ramchandra, right? So, so the thing is that because it is the nature, that's what I'm saying, the prakriti will act. When you are put into a situation, prakriti will act. Prakriti will bring forth from inside your emotions, thoughts, and you will be affected by that. It is not possible to become free from prakriti. What you can do is, what Krishna's point is, that is why Krishna talks about prakriti also in the kshetram and kshetratnya. He talks about both, is it not? Kshetram is that prakriti, what he is talking about. Prakriti and purusha, that is kshetram and kshetratnya. So the reason why he spoke like that is, if you don't understand kshetram, you won't understand kshetratnya first. In order to understand kshetratnya, you have to understand the kshetram first. So therefore he starts with kshetram first, and then he talks about kshetratnya in the 13th chapter, in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So he says here, therefore Krishna's point is that the way to become free from this entanglement of prakriti is through the knowledge of the soul, self-realization. Knowing very well who you are, and then you become free from the prakriti. This is why self-realization is important. If you want to escape, prakriti means maya. Basically, it is maya. If you want to become free from maya, the way to escape from maya is by knowing the self. Knowing the self. And then you become free. So, to know yourself who you are, and then to know what the world is also the same self what you are. Atmaswarupam is the same as the world, right? So that is why, and that is what self-realization is important. Or we say another way of saying that is knowing the absolute truth. Absolute truth is knowing the self, that is the absolute truth, right? And if that has to be, you have to realize the truth in that way, and through meditation and through all the other bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, all that, eventually you are trying to get established in that state of the self, Antaryami state, right? And for that purpose, Krishna said, you should go and live in isolation, live aloof from everything else, away from maya as much as possible. And you should also train your intelligence to think about it, right? So that is what Krishna is saying here also. Yeah. Buddhya Vishuddhaya. Buddhya Vishuddhaya. He mentioned that before. Chedasa Savikarmani Sarvakarmani Maisanyasya Malpara Buddhyoga Mupashritya Machitta Satatam Bhava. Yeah. Buddhyoga Mupashritya Ananya Sharanam Machitto Mai Eva Chittam Yasya Tava Satto Machitta Satatam. Because it is like this that if the buddhi is very disturbed, yeah, and if it is very scattered, if it is very disturbed, it will get very scattered, right? And buddhi won't agree with you very easily. You see, why? How to say this? That the mind and buddhi and the body has to come under our control, yeah, for spiritual life. So all these things what we do is to keep these three things, buddhi, mind, manasa, buddhi and gross body,
all these things should always be under our control. If they are all disturbed and are out of control, then you can't function anymore. You can't function anymore, right? So, out of these three things, buddhi, mind, and body, most difficult one is this buddhi and the mind. Buddhi and the mind, right? So, it won't easily give way. It won't easily give way, buddhi, right? So, say you think something, shastram says something, but your buddhi will say something else. And then you will go with the buddhi. You won't be able to do it that way. That's a difficult thing, right? So, so that's why they say, buddhi has got constipation. Buddhi stays like that, like in a constipated state, right? So, it is not working, right? And you can see some people, their buddhi has become like that, and then they start questioning shastra. You have seen that? People who question shastra, because their buddhi has become constipated. The buddhi is not allowing them to become independent, to think anything. And not able to accept shastram because of that. And they will read the shastram and they will come out with all the wrong conclusions from the shastram. Right? So, we call them as buddhijivis or who are people who have got, they are very intelligent, we say. Intelligent people. And there are people like that here also. This is the same problem with our Richard Hawkins and all that. They are all intellectuals, aren't they not? They think that they have intelligence. And they, when you watch their YouTube videos, you can see they are so convinced about their intelligence, and they will force it on you that their intelligence decision is perfect. Richard Hawkins, and there's others as well. There's another, that scientist who was in the wheelchair all the time. He is also there. So many like that, you know, who are so much under the influence of intelligence. And they are not able to get over that barrier. They are not able to get over that, right? So, therefore Krishna is saying that buddhi has to be purified. Buddhi has to be purified because this is a knowledge beyond buddhi. And buddhi yoga mubhashyate. Therefore Krishna is saying like this, that for that he is giving all the options how to do that, right? It is for that purpose, to make that buddhi in the right place, Krishna spoke about that upasana, bhakti, all these things, right? Sadhana bhakti, sadhya bhakti, all these things. Sadhana bhakti means that, but sadhana bhakti means you stay in a sattugunam as much as possible, living in a sattvic way of life, right? And and you develop a bhavam inside, in a sattvic mood towards Krishna. In a sattvic mood, right? So, otherwise everything else in life also, in a sattvic way, to turn that. So, what that means is, if you are engaged in the karma yoga, for what purpose? To bring ourselves from the problem of, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, right? In this way, karma yoga has been worked out in a sattvic way, and that is the treatment for purifying the heart, right? To become free from that ego, I am the doer. It's an ego, isn't it? It's an ego that is dictating that. So, if you keep this treatment, this karma yoga is a treatment like that, to become free from that ego, I am the doer, I am controlling everything, everything is me who is doing it, and I should get the results. These things, these are all the impurities in the heart, right? And that has to be treated. And when that happens, the buddhi will change. Buddhi has got the problem, and buddhi requires this treatment, right? So, what is the symptom of a person whose buddhi is purified? Whose buddhi is purified, right? So, a particular thing, you are thinking about it, right? And you thought about it without causing any problems, right? You have to get that guidance from inside. When that guidance comes from Antaryami, You see, we are making decisions on various things in life, is it not? And people who have buddhi, they will use the buddhi, they will think about it. And buddhi also cannot make the decision unless it is supported by the antaryami inside. So when buddhi gets that direction from antaryami in the proper way, what is happening is that the defects in the buddhi goes away. For example, that buddhi has got various problems, like buddhi making the decision. For example, in buddhi, when buddhi works, we start seeing things differently. For example, man, woman. Somebody says the man is superior, woman is less intelligent, and things like that. All these things. When it comes to spiritual life, all this doesn't affect. These things are spoken in one level. You have to understand that also. Similarly, this is one example, man-woman problems. And then similarly, something is good, something is bad, this, that, this I want, this I don't want. In this way, we have developed certain traits in our intelligence. That means our knowledge has gone in a wrong direction. Yeah? Knowledge has gone in the wrong direction. For example, I am this body, for example. This thought is in me, right? It is not going away. Trying very hard not to think I am this body, but it is not possible to get out of that, right? So, you will see this even in great personalities. They have this problem. Everybody has this problem. When Melpattu wrote Narayaniyam, it is every chapter, if you look, there are 10 verses. And there is 100 chapters. Roughly 1,000 verses. Totally it is 1,036 verses, right? So in every chapter at the end, he was suffering from arthritis. Heavy arthritis he had. And he was only 27 years old. He got it from his teacher. Achyuta Pusharadi gave it to him and he accepted it. And that way he got cured and Melpattu accepted it. He came. And then he decided to please Krishna through Bhagavatam. And he decided to summarize Bhagavatam and he wrote Narayaniyam. So while he was writing Narayaniyam, he didn't have so much energy because he was suffering with the pain. So every day when he wrote, every chapter he finished with this to cure his disease. He asked Krishna to cure his disease. He said like this. So if you look at all the other chapters, the first 90 chapters, you will find end of every chapter finishes with that, praying to Krishna, please cure me from this disease. That is, sincerely he is praying to him because of the pain in the body. And after writing 10 verses, the pain became unbearable and then he went back and rested in his place wherever he was resting. That is how it was compiled. When he got into the 91st chapter, his attitude understood. He started seeing things in a different way. So what did he do? He says at that time that he's saying to Krishna, please remove this identification with the body from me. And identification with the body is causing the problem. Because he realized that this problem with the body is not something going to solve the problem. Identification with the body is the problem, right? So, identification means that thinking that I am this body, right? And I am suffering because of that. He has come to this realization. And in order to, if we don't have that strength to do that, you require strength for that, to pray in that way. Hi me dehamoham teja pavana puradishayal premaheto gehe vitte kalatra dishuja vivashidam tulpadam vismarandi soyam vanneshunova paramiha varado sambrado chakshikarnam tukjikhvagre vrishandi avashamadaida kobinatval padabje. That verse in the Ekadasham, he says this, right? This dehamoham means identification with the body, is difficult to give up. If you help me with that, my problem is solved, he says to Krishna, that way, right? So he is praying for that. And when you realize like that, when you come to this understanding, right, with the buddhi, you start realizing that all problem of all living entities in this world is due to bodily identity. It's not. You realize that your problem is also due to bodily identity. Equally, others also suffering in this world, their problem is also due to bodily identity. And that is why he said there, samasarveshu bhudeshu. So, samasarveshu bhudeshu means that you started seeing all the bhudam. Bhudam means all the living entities. Their suffering is caused by their identification with the body as much as my suffering is due to my identification with the body. Right? So, to bring us to this realization, that is the solution to the problem. That we have to recognize, you see, all this fighting the war, all the relief operations, this is no solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is to make every jiva in this world aware that suffering is due to bodily identity. That's the only way to escape from permanent solution to the problem. The more living entities realize, animals you can't teach them. Only in human society you can give this knowledge. So if the living entity, particularly human species, realize this, all the problem is solved with that. That problem is due to bodily identification, nothing else. And that is why we are fighting, killing each other. So just see how spiritual knowledge is important, right? Spiritual solution is the real solution. All other solutions are patchwork. It would not work, right? So, this is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is trying to get this point across to us. That as long as you identify with the body, you are in trouble. There is no solution to it. And that is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna also. Arjuna, come to the spiritual platform. Understand who you are first. And this book is only for to realize the self. To realize the self. It is not for anger management, pain management, or any other kind of business management. It's not for that. It is for this purpose Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, right? So, and Arjuna lost his balance as well, right? And Krishna is saying to him that when your mind is absorbed in the world, right? Krishna says to Arjuna, bring it to samam. This samam is a word Krishna uses. For what is samam means? The literal meaning of samam means equal. But actually what it means is the spiritual state or the state of the soul. That is samam. Because on the spiritual platform, as a samam, we are all equal. That is why it's called a samam. Why is Atma called a samam? Because of this. Because once you all come to the spiritual platform, we are all equal. Only on spiritual platform, we are equal. Not on the bodily level. So, to bring us back into that spiritual platform, which means equal, there is solution. Not on the bodily level. In bodily level, we are all different. We are all different in bodily level, right? So, Krishna is saying to him, that bring Arjuna to that samam. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param. All these things. Uddhava also Krishna is saying that samam state is important. To come to that samam state. Right? Because otherwise in this journey, in life is called a journey, isn't it? Shariram, shariryobi yatra. The yatra. This is a yatra. This is a yatra of the jiva through this world. Right? And In this yatra, from your suffering here, only if you come to samam level, you become free, right? Whereas if the chittam goes outside into the world, it will create conflict inside. It will create conflict inside. And that is called advaitam. When chittam start dealing with the world outside, it will create conflicts inside, right? So samam basically refers to that advaitam stage. And the other one is the dvaitam. That means you have come back to you, your very self, real self, right? Nothing exists separately from you. And then there is no conflict inside. When you start thinking, accepting that something else exists separately from you, then there is a problem. That is not samam then. Samam means only you exist and others are not different. They are the same as you, not different, right? So, Samas Sarvesha Bodeshu, in that verse Krishna said that, isn't it? You remember Krishna said that, Brahma Bodha Prasannatma Na Shochadi Na Kamshadi Samam Sarvesha Bodeshu. This is what that Samam means. Samam is the solution for all the problems to come to the Samam. Samam means soul, in the state of being the soul. Instead of identifying with the body, come to the spiritual platform. Become awareness, bodham. Samam sarveshu bodeshu. Mad bhaktim levade param. At that stage, bhakti comes. Okay. So, so Krishna says there that with this samatvam, samatvam, right? Krishna also mentioned another word, samatvam yogam uchyate. He says in the 6th or 7th, 8th chapter, I think. Right? Yeah, yogam means samatvam. This samam stage is yogam, right? And once you come to that, sarveshu bhudeshu, when that samatvam comes, that is when parabhakti comes. When samatvam comes, sarveshu bhudeshu, then parabhakti comes, right? And that time you realize that that doesn't happen on day one. First you have to realize inside. Only after that you can realize outside. You won't realize outside first and then realize inside. First you realize inside that you are that Antaryami, Atma. After that realization, that extends to the world outside. So where does that come? He says, Krishna is saying here that Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra. You will see that in the 13th chapter. Krishna is saying that. You remember? 13th chapter, if you look. If you look at that, you will see. You have to think that words also here. 29th verse. Samam Pashyan hi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram nahinasya alpana almanam tato yadi parangadim. So you have to remember this verse here, what Krishna is talking about. Samam Pashyan hi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram nahinasya alpana almanam tato yadi parangadim. One who is able to see, right? this is a very important verse. This Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra, right? Able to see it like that. Krishna is saying it is required. Otherwise, you can't go further after that. Yeah, you can't go further, right? It's an important verse. Whether it has become practical for us or not, that is our endeavor, our effort in that direction, right? Shastram is saying like this. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu samam pashyanhi sarvatra. Right? Samam pashyanhi sarvatra. Pashyan means our prakriti, our nature, what is in us. Right? For example, we are seeing through senses. We are seeing things through senses. Right? But samam is not happening. When I see things through senses, samam is not happening. Right? On the other hand, conflict is happening. When you see two people, you are not able to see them in the same way. Seeing people too in a different way. Right? So, for example, when you see someone, you start thinking, why has he come here? What does he want? Or somebody else, you are welcoming him. You say, oh, you come. Somebody else, he comes, you don't want him to come. So, where is the samam then? So, samam is not happening though. Right? So these conflicting thoughts. Two people came. One person came, you welcome him. Another person who come, you don't want to see him. So why this happened? That's not samam, is it? So samam bhashyanhi sarvatra means this conflicting thoughts should not come inside in that way. Right? Samavastitam Ishwara, Krishna said. Samavastitam Ishwara. Because Ishwara is present in everyone equally. Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra, Samavastitam Ishwara. He is present in everyone equally, right? And looking at that, that he is presenting everyone equally, and you don't hurt yourself more by seeing unequal way people. You don't hurt yourself, right? The thing is that everything when does, we hurt ourselves, not the person. In Vedantam it is like that, yeah? Suppose two people came, right? One people you have acted in one way, another person in a different way. Now, the question is, who is suffering in this more? Not the two people who had come. They are not the one affected. The one affected is you, who looked at them differently. Everything in Vedantam is like that. Vedantam's point is this. World is not important. You are important. Yeah? The world is not important. Why? Because the impact of this world in you is important. Drashtav is more important. Drishyam is not important. If you keep this principle all the time, you will understand Bhagavad Gita better. Otherwise, you won't understand Bhagavad Gita. We are used to thinking to correct the world, to change the world. What goes on in the world, that's what matters to us. Is it not? The war is going on, and so many problems are going on in the world. And we analyze all those problems, and we think where things have gone wrong. Vedantam is saying that's not important. What is the effect of that on you, inside you? That's what matters. Yeah. So he's saying here also, if you don't, otherwise you will hurt yourself, right? And you will harm yourself. So, but on the other hand, we cannot live in this world without seeing what's going on in the world. That's also there, another side of it, right? But those things, when you see what will create trouble for you, and if that does not have to happen, then Krishna is saying, the way to become free from that problem is sama avasthitam ishwaram. Develop this samam nature in us, right? Try to see him in everything. See him in everything. In the war also you see him. His role in the war. That's what you should see. Not these people, what they are doing. That he is upset, therefore this is happening. That's the way to learn things. Similarly, when sense gratification is going on excessive, and when people are suffering, all situations, Krishna says, samavastidam ishwaram. Samam pashyanhi sarvatra, samavastidam ishwaram. That balanced state, samam, of seeing Krishna's hands in everything, is the only solution for this. Krishna is saying this. Yeah? So, and if you develop that thing inside, you won't be affected by it. You won't be affected by that. So, so that's the principle, right? That is why in the Vedantam, they are gives importance to this. Yeah, everything what you see is Krishna. Everything what you see is Krishna. Good or bad, don't worry about that. It is Krishna. And whatever karma is happening in this world, it is Krishna who is doing that. And that's way, develop a mind in that way. That's what Krishna's advice is, right? So, when you look at people, others also, it's not that when you see them, it's not that you are seeing Krishna like that. You won't see the 400 form or 200 form with the conchal disc, club and lotus flower and all. That's not what it means, right? What it means is that it not be with those. That's not what seeing means, right? That will not come easily. That will not. This vision won't come very easily. So Krishna is saying it has to begin from with people who are very close to you first. You can't have this relationship with the whole world immediately. Initially, it has to begin with people who are very close to you, right? And it is not required that, for example, I don't have a hate or love for someone in America because I don't know them. I am not in... Mostly it is with people whom you are close to. This problem. Ragadvesham all comes with mostly with the people with close to you. It is only now because of this media, Ragadvesham is increasing to the world, whole world. Our Ragadvesham has become the whole world now because of this media. But otherwise, wars were going on in this world, other places. We were not told. We didn't know about it. So it didn't affect us. But now it is affecting, right? But generally, people who are very close to you, that is where all your Ragadvesham is. So, so therefore Krishna is saying that you should start with people around you first. And this is the reason when Krishna appeared in this world, to Vasudev, Krishna gave the instruction, Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakrat. You remember that verse? Yuvamam putra bhavena, you can look after me like your child, but brahma bhavena chasakrat. Always you should see in the Brahmam, realize to stay. In the Brahmam, I am that Brahmam, in that way. Chindayando kradasnehav. That if you should think about this all the time and develop this Brahma Bhavam from the beginning itself. This was Krishna's first instruction to Vasudev straight after birth. You will see that in the beginning, in the 10th canto, right? So, So he says that if you start thinking of me as I am your son, then you will start getting attached to me. You will get attached to me, right? So, that part of it, you don't have to give advice to anybody. It comes naturally in a mother and a father. That it's my son and attachment will come. No training required. But Brahma Bhavam, you require training. Is it not? The two Bhavam, Putra Bhavam, Brahma Bhavam, he spoke. Who? Krishna. Said to Vasudev. He said, Putra Bhavam, you will get it. Without it, I don't have to give you teach you on that. But Brahma Bhavam, you have to train yourself and develop that. So, Vasudev was given these instructions, right? So, similarly, children, wife, husband, friends, to have some attachment towards them, we don't require any advice on that, training or advice or anything, right? And just like you get feeling attachment for them, you all also feel in the same way, dvesham. Hate them also in the same way. Like you get attached to them, you hate them also. So attachment and aversion towards wife, children, friends, family, home, all these things is natural. Without any training it comes. It's not, we all get it without any training. So it is a kind of an energy within us which makes us like that. A certain type of energy, what is within us, right? So, and if that energy is not there, life in this world would have been a lot easier. If this energy was not working in this way. And that happens around our own people. Our, say, for a husband or a wife or children or family or friends, whom you consider your own. Yeah, that way. To them you have some attachment in some form. Right. So, here we are seeing so many people, right? And when you see them, it does not affect you. But when you get home, sometimes you think about it and it adds some impact on you. Right? And that is called, this is called mamata. The technical word for that is mamata. Right? Thinking that they are mine. They are mine. That's with the family also, with the relations also, in several ways. They are mine feeling. And this is very difficult to overcome. It's very difficult to overcome. Even when you become disciple, you start thinking, they are my God brothers. Others are not important. This comes there also. And then me and my God brothers make a plan together to meet together and to have some program and exclude others. Just see the power of mamata, how it works. One person told me a few days ago, a retreat was going on for last 4 days in Lincoln. So he was not invited. And he complained to me that they didn't include him in that program. Because some people joined together and did that program, but who has done that, right? So he was getting very hurt. But he's not seeing the negative side of it. That if you develop mamata like this, doesn't matter what it is, whatever it may be. Sometimes you can see the it is in every field of life, this kind of mamata. Is it not? With that mamata, samam sarveshu bhudeshu is not possible. You are actually working opposite to what Krishna has taught. As much as possible, you should become free from this kind of mamata. Mamata is what? When you have mamata, where is the question of samam sarveshu bhudeshu, samam pashyanhi sarvatra and all that? It will all go. But unfortunately, because we don't study Bhagavad Gita properly and don't imbibe that message Krishna is giving to us about self-realization, we come to spiritual life and then based on our vasanas, we conduct our spiritual life. Based on our vasanas inside. Vasana is like this. To club together, to group together, to enjoy together. Right? So when that vasana takes over, samam pashyanhi sarvatra, samam sarveshu bhudeshu goes into the bin. So what is the use? What is the use? What have we understood from Bhagavad Gita then? Is it not? So this, what I'm saying is this propensity to come together, to group together, to enjoy together, is even in spiritual life. It's there. For a few days we are together, had a good time, and we think that we are exclusive in this world. Who is exclusive in this world? Everyone is suffering in this world. So where is the exclusivity there? And so this, to get out of this is very difficult. This thing called mamata. So, Krishna is saying there, in such a situation, realize, that's what he said to Vasudeva. Asakrat chindayando mam, he says. Asakrat chindayando mam. If you look at that verse, you will see, right? Again and again and again, this is Krishna. This is Brahmam. That way relate with me, he says to who? To Vasudeva. He says, if you look at that verse in the Bhagavatam, Yuvamam putra bhavena, Brahma bhavena cha asakrat, chindayando kridasneho. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakral chindayando krita sneho yasyede malgadim param. Says, yeah. So, you can see this, what Krishna has spoken. It is after both Vasudev's studi and Devaki's studi, both were done. It is after that Krishna is saying this to them. And that is the most important verse there. It's a very important verse. Right after, because they notice, Krishna noticed that this putrasneham, attachment to the child, is strong in both Vasudeva and Devaki. Right? And then Vasudeva says later, even though Krishna has told us all these things, it didn't happen that way. And that is why Niminavayogi Samvadam happened. Because of this. Krishna understood that they accepted putra bhavam. Brahma bhavam didn't happen to Vasudeva and Devaki. So therefore, Krishna decided to send Narada Maharshi to instruct them, Vasudev, and Narada Maharshi did that through Naminava Yogi Samvadam. Yeah? So you can understand from this, Yuvamam Putra Bhavena Brahma Bhavena Chasagat. What is this Brahma Bhavam? Brahma Bhavam means Samam Pashyan Hi Sarvatra Vishame Samubastidam. That verse, right? That's what Brahma Bhava means. Samam Pashyan Hi Sarvatra. So it is not easy. If Vasudev didn't do it, you can imagine what about we doing it. That chance, there is no question at all. That there's no way it's going to happen. But the principle is there, that Krishna is saying this, that Samam Pashyan Hi Sarvatra. Samavastitam Ishwaram Nahinasti Alpana Alpanam Tadoyadi Parangadim. You see the meaning of the words? Yeah? Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra Samavastitam Ishwaram Nahinasti Alpana Alpanam Tadoyadi Parangadim. He says, one who is saying it like that, he is not torturing himself. He is not torturing himself. One who is not seeing like that is torturing himself. That means that, as I gave that example, two people come. One person you like, another person you don't like. And if that thought has come inside, it's not samam. By that, actually you have hurt yourself, if that thought has developed inside. It's not samam, right? So, Krishna said that, and if you look at the verse before, also he says, Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtandam Parameshwaram Vinashyalsu Avinashyandam Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. Krishna is saying that if you are seeing like that, you are seeing properly. Otherwise, you are not seeing properly. Your vision is blurred. Blurred vision it is. Yeah. So, Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtandam Parameshwaram Vinashyalsu Avinashyandam Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. If he is seeing like that, he is seeing it properly. Otherwise not. And then he said that Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra Samavastitam Ishwaram Nahinasti Alpana Alpanam Tadoyadi Parangadim. He says like that. So, this vision is saying that is that as spoken by to Vasudev. Krishna has spoken like that. Yeah. So, so again and again to realize that, so that it doesn't hurt you, for that, for your own protection, you have to develop this thinking inside, right? Whether it is going to, it is possible or not, don't worry about it now. Because at this stage, right, but there is no harm in thinking about it. To do it may not be possible now, in our present state, right? So, just like the doctor gives you a prescription, isn't it? And you go to the pharmacy, collect the medicines, right? And not all the medicines work. Sometimes it doesn't work, and then gives another one. So, what have you got there? Your belief, faith in the doctor, is it not? That he is giving me this medicine will work, right? And you are taking the medicines, and sometimes you say it's not helping much. You say like that, right? So, actually, this problem is in everything, whether it is allopathy, Ayurvedam, homeopathy, naturopathy, whatever treatment you take, this problem is there in everything, right? So, then, similarly, right at this moment, all we can do, that this is the prescription, what Krishna is saying, Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra, Samavastitam Ishwaram, those verses, right? And there is no point in accepting it and thinking about it. It may not be working like the medicine sometimes. It's not the fault of the medicine. There are other factors as well. Right? So, for example, if you see a person And you start thinking that Krishna is present in him, or Krishna is present in her, right? And at least think like that, even if it is not happening though. That's the beginning. At least start thinking like that, even though it is not happening. Because when you start thinking like that, what happens? All the negative things will also come. He is such a rascal, he has given me so much trouble, and you want me to see him, Krishna is present in him. Krishna is not present in him. Mind will tell you this. So, knowing all that, still think that Krishna is present in that person. That's the way to think about that. That means, bhavam may not come straight away, but you have to practice to start with, right? And one day, you will find it having some effect on you. That's the way spiritual life is. It's not overnight, it's not... You see, most of the people think spiritual life is just another project. They have to execute and it will come out the result. Like constructing a building or doing some manufacturing something, right? So, this vidya, in order to make it perfect, right? Krishna is saying that if you have become perfect, then you are not in this world. You are in the spiritual world then, if you have become perfect, right? So, when you start seeing everything is Brahman, then this world has no effect on him. The world has no effect on him. To that extent, it may not be possible for us to do that. It's not simple, that, what Krishna has spoken, right? So, but to a large extent, if you do that, what will help us is, a lot of hate or dvesham or, negative thoughts about others will go, and a lot of disturbance also will go from inside. And if you feel attached to somebody, then to take away that attachment is difficult also, right? So there also you have to think that it is Krishna Swarupam that is. And if so, both people whom you hate or people whom you like, in both of them, to bring this bhavam in that, that it is Krishna who is present inside, right? Once that comes, that will remove all the faults inside. And if you develop this bhavana inside, you are not hurting yourself. That's a benefit from that. If you think like that, it will not hurt you. That is a benefit from that. Otherwise, you are hurting yourself, like Krishna is saying there. So, you have to look at all these things very carefully, right? And if this dhyanam, if this thoughts become strong inside, if it has become very strong inside you, what will happen is, it will have an effect on them as well. Their negativity towards you will also start loosening, right? That is the only way you can change people. You can only change people in this way. That means initially within you, the thing has to go, right? Otherwise, normally what do? We say, everyone in the family, they are not listening to me. Give him one or two and try to change them. That won't work. That won't work, right? Bringing this understanding that Krishna is there in them. Samam pashyanhi sarvatra. Both to attached people and the people whom you hate. In both of them, this bhavam has to come. Initially, it will help you because you won't hurt yourself by doing that. You are protecting yourself first. Secondly, they will also change. And that's the only way you can change others. There is no other way, right? So, when we say to people, oh, you have to change, some people say you have to change others with love, they say. Showing your love, it doesn't work, right? You can show love one, next moment you will turn back again. But first thing, the process is like this, the way to change others is changing inside us, that negativity was to go first. That's why those verses are so important in that 13th chapter. Samam pashyanhi sarvatra, samavastidam, those things, whatever we read that. Samavastidam ishwaram. So,
Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Dipade Param, Krishna says. Always he's talking about this Samam, Samam, Samam. And from that you have to understand that it is for us. That Samatvam, Yoga Muchyade. Krishna says that Samatvam is Yoga. In another place he says. So Yoga means this Samam building up inside. If that is built up inside, the Samam, then we will be protected, and gradually those who are against us, causing problem, they will also change over a period of time. That is the main message. We'll stop there today. We'll continue next Tuesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dear Nadiyatma Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.